Once bitten, twice sell.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Investors are in running for the hills mode this week after some not so great economic indicators have sparked worries that the global recovery is going to take longer than we thought. Later this morning, the 800-pound gorilla of economic indicators, the gross domestic product, comes out. It's a measure of all the goods and services we produce, and it's seen as the indicator of economic health. Everybody will be watching for that later today. But for now, all is gloomy. Yesterday, U.S. markets were down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped more than 1%. The S&P 500 slipped 2%. Asian markets are down this morning for the third straight day. Tokyo's Nikkei Index down 1.8%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng down 2.25%. In Europe, London's FTSE off just a hair. Oil prices are also down this morning. That on worries that the economic recovery is going to take its sweet time. A barrel of crude is $77.77 this morning. That's roughly 40% what it was this time last year. That's been very hard on oil companies. Shell earnings came out a bit earlier today. The Anglo-Dutch oil giant saw third quarter profits drop 62% and said the future isn't necessarily looking so bright. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
Analysts had forecast a big drop in profits for Shell. Nevertheless, the stock market still found today's results disappointing because they failed to deliver the pleasant surprise served up by BP earlier this week. BP's figures were much better than expected. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says BP's a special case. It began cutting its costs much sooner than Shell.
All of the oil majors got fat in the good times and have started to try and trim down their cost base, and BP's at a much more advanced stage of that process.
Shell is trying to catch up, however. The company says it will have shed 5,000 jobs, 5% of the total workforce, by the end of this year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The U.S. and China are meeting today for their annual trade meeting. Trade has, of course, long been a sore spot between the two countries. Last month, the U.S. slapped tariffs on Chinese-made tires, and the FT reports this morning China is now looking into whether government subsidies have given the U.S. auto industry an unfair advantage. The struggles of our car companies, of course, have gotten lots of attention. But the companies that make parts for those cars have been struggling, too, as Elisa Roth reports.
If you're in the car right now, take a look around. It's a good bet the inside was made by Johnson Controls. You may not recognize the name, but they're the world's biggest maker of car interiors, and yesterday they reported a big jump in third quarter profits. Other suppliers are reporting earnings in the next couple of days. Mark Gardner is in charge of the auto practice at Deloitte Consulting, and he's expecting good news.
The suppliers are holding their own, and I think it's evidence of the fact that they've been under some very aggressive campaigns and programs to consolidate and to collapse costs and to try to, you know, stick with the lower volumes that they've been seeing for the last year.
Gardner says the industry is shrinking, but slowly, and it could be a while before it finishes shaking out. Doug Harvey's in the auto division at A.T. Kearney.
There still is probably a significant amount of consolidation that we're going to see in the supply base because the overall industry is a smaller industry than it was.
That'll mean fewer, bigger suppliers, but probably a more stable industry overall. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
iPhones in China? There's an app for that. Tomorrow, Apple's iPhone will go on sale in the world's biggest handset market. But what's life like for people who make the iPhone? Marketplace's Scott Tong visited the factory city of Shenzhen in southern China to find out.
Designed in California, assembled in China. Those words are etched on the back of your iPhone. And on the China side of that equation is a migrant worker doing one task over and over. 30-something Mr. Liu injects hot plastic into molds all day. He makes the outer shells of the iPhone.
Each of us is like an ox. We never stop working. The factory is over 100 degrees. We go for 12 hours a day.
Now, Apple doesn't own the plant. It pays a company called Foxconn to make its products. The factory where Liu works holds 100,000 employees. Base pay here is 70 cents an hour, though with overtime he can make twice that. Still, get out of line here, and co-worker Wang says Foxconn docks your pay.
Foxconn punishes you for not finishing your food at the cafeteria. Waste it once, and you get a warning. But if you do it twice, they fine you.
Foxconn denied this in writing. The company does provide that food for free, as well as free dormitories. But Wang pays out of pocket to live off campus. He doesn't want to share a room with 30 other guys. And he wants to eat whatever he wants. Fried rice at this street vendor goes for 80 cents a bowl. But the biggest issue we heard from the workers is unfair compensation. Li Mingqi is in the industrial design department at the iPhone factory.
For instance, they stop paying overtime if you exceed 80 hours a week. No matter how much you work, they won't approve the extra pay.
Foxconn said this is not true. And for all the worker grievances, labor advocate Jeffrey Crothel says workers freely choose to do this because the money's good. Crothel is with the China Labor Bulletin.
The reason they go to the cities to look for work is because life in the countryside is even worse.
And even if they quit, plenty more Chinese are willing to come in and snap together an iPhone for that 70 cents an hour. In Shenzhen, southern China, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today marks the 80th anniversary of Black Tuesday. On October 29, 1929, the stock market tanked. Billions of dollars were lost, thousands of investors were wiped out, and so many trades happened that day, machinery got overloaded and stock tickers ran hours behind. It was the start of the Great Depression. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.